recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one, and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Me'ilah brought to you amazingly in Chumot Yerushalayim itself is Daf Yud, and we were holding in the continued discussion of the Machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan as to what point it's considered to be Yotzi Midei Me'ilah on the Emurim of Kodesh Kodashim, whether the Trumat HaDeshen is sufficient, and that's considered to be the end of the process, as Rav says, or whether, as Rabbi Yochanan says, you need to wait until you get all the way to the Beit HaDeshen, because that is considered to be part of the Dinim. Woohoo! He's back, of the Emurim. No, you're okay there. That's, this is Richie. But that means that if Richie's here, I need to, first of all, I need to bring something to throw.
But don't forget, I've got a handicap, I got jet lag.
I need a brain to squeeze. It's good having you back, Rich. At least for a couple of days, right? Huh? Well, when's the next departure?
No, I'm here for a
week.
At least a month or two.
Except for
Kosher Lav.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I know the diddly doesn't have any dapim over there.
Special Gemara for you.
Yes. Oh, Richie, yes. We got you a special Gemara. No problem at all. So we're holding on Daf Yud Amud Aleph over here. Oh, sorry, you have to turn back one page. This is, yeah, we got Yud Amud Aleph, and that's Richie's going.
Protect whatever you want.
That's my
special edition. Yep. So, after the fun.
Are we up to the Mishnah?
Nope, we're not up to the Mishnah yet, but we were looking forward to your return because we figured you'd be bringing some bottles with you on the way back, and we were going to celebrate your return. And
except that the duty-free was closed in the airport when I went through. I managed to get something.
Not
of the quantity that I enjoyed. All right. But we'll manage one way or another.
It's okay, we'll be fine. Okay, so anyway, getting back to the real issues over here, as Richie is, he's unable to contain his excitement. So we're talking over here, continued machloket lagabein, at what point we consider the Gemar Mitzvah. The last thing that we had brought up yesterday was something of an aside, where over there, the question is, what do you do with the money of Me'ilah once you're paying the money of Me'ilah? And since we're going to be getting back more to that later, let me just review that with you. There we also had a question about whether the money is used only on something that nobody has enough from except technician, including no Kohanim. So according to Levi, you'd only be able to use the money of Me'ilah to pay. You could use it, of course, to actually invest in what it is that you were mail in. But assuming that that's not the case, then you would have to bring dafka, ktoret, or maybe something else, that there's no hanava kohanim, like a minchat desachim, and so on. It may not mean ktoret dafka. The case the Gemara brings is the ktoret, where there's no hanav for kohanim. But there's a number of things there's no hanav for kohanim. As a matter of fact, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, we were talking about a minchas kohen, we could be talking about... So if he were a Kohen, then there would be no Hanada Kohen if he were bringing his meal. Or we could be talking about a Minchat Nesachim, which a person can be donated, but for no reason. And that Minchat Nesachim could then be brought without Hanada to anything but the Mizbeach. Okay, that's some suggest. I don't know if it's true. Because the idea over here is, according to Levi, that the Tzibur, and only the Tzibur should be named, if you yourself would be bringing it in any fashion. Don't know that that's okay at all. We only saw that according to Rav, but you could be You could be used, according to Rav, even for your own personal additions. Okay. But anyway, that we'll see more of later in the Masechta. But right now, we'll be getting back to that later today. So that was the last thing that we left off with. And there, we said that money that had been set aside for Me'ilah on a Chatas, where somebody had been Mechaper, on the Chatas would be dependent on the Machlokas, the Rabban and the Rabbi Shimon, which is, at what point does something become a Chatat HaMeita? Is it any time that Kipru Baalim Bacher, or is it only if it were lost, or Avashnata, or whatever, at the time that Kipru Baalim Bacher? Depending on that Shita, that would also be completely different as to whether the Ma'ot needed to go to Yama Melach. Because in the Ma'ot have a din of a Chatat HaMeitas, if you brought it after you were in the Tkaper Bacher, then you wouldn't be able to use it to add to your Chatas, and then you'd have to dump it into the Yama Melach. So we were Makalik between those two Shitot, and indeed, on the top line, Rav Gavia, Tvei Katil, said to Rav Ashi, that Abaya said the same thing, Ochi Amar Abaya, Reish Rabbi Shimon, Vesefer Rabbanon, so it depends whether it's a Chatat HaMeita. If it's not a Chatat HaMeita, so then there's no reason why it would have to be thrown into the Yama Melach. If not, then you're right, you'd have to throw it into the Yama Melach. Oh my brother, getting back to it, the Gemara is a little bit weird, as Tosis points out, because of the organization. That was what happened over here is we started off with Machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, which has to do with at what point the Me'ilah is completed, moved to discuss where the money would be knifled to, which was Machlokas, Rav and Levi, got into the Machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, and now we're going all the way back to the Machlokas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So that Rav or the Shita has Ula says that getting back to that machloket akol modim, even though that's what we've been talking about until now, everybody, both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, would be moda about 2 points that you may have not noticed until now. Point number one is that the basar of katshe katshe, where over there it was nitma, so if you would be nene from that basar, or even the imurim of katshim kalim, now we have been discussing the Imurim of Katshe Kadashim. And remarkably, Ula is asserting that if you would be Nene from the Imurim of Katshim Kalim, you would not be Moya La'achar Sheha'alan. After you put them on the Mizbeach and Shaltaba and Na'ur, you would not be Moya. Which, again, is a remarkable Kiddush, despite the fact that the Gemara is going to say Pshita. It's rather astonishing that it's Pshita, since it flies in the face of everything that we've just been discussing. Yeah, you need it to have either Trumata Deshet, or you need, I mean, like, well, it's really weird that the Gemara should say Pshita, because it sure as heck isn't Pshita to us. But the question of Pshita is not relating to what's troubling us. The question of Pshita is, given that what's troubling us has been addressed, and it's assuming that we know this, because it never does address the difference between the Mishnah and this statement of Ula, given that that's addressed, then it's Pshita, as we'll see in a moment. How do we address it? So Tosfos on Amud Beis over here, it's in the middle of the Tosfos, the top right here on Amud Beis, brings that his Rebbe, who was alive at the time, that was Rabbeinu Peretz, he brings Mori Rabbeinu Peretz, Sheyichya says that there's no real comparison between our case and this case. Actually, the only difference between the two is that we have been discussing Chatata Of and other Katshe Kadashim. And here, Ula's Weimer is referring to a Murim of Kachim Kali. Now you'll say, so what? I mean, but the fact is that there is no technical difference in terms of the Chiyah. You still need bringing it out to the Beit HaDesha, or you still need Trumat HaDesha. So why in the world are we saying there should be a Nafkamina, and the moment that you completed doing whatever needed to be done, which is bringing it up to the top of the Mizbeach, that's it. You don't have to wait until it's Nasa Afer in order to take off the Me'ilah. So he has two approaches. He says there's no comparison, A, because of the Pasuk. The whole din of how to treat the Deshen is set specifically by the Karban Olah. And that's where we learn it from. And there it says, He Olah, Mokdak, Olalailan, gives us all of the dinim of what to do with the Deshen. Never says anything like that by Kachin Kalim. And therefore, Tainas Rabbeinu Peretz, we only have a right to learn out all Kachin Kachin from Oila, but we cannot learn out Kachin Kalim from. So that's a tremendous chiddush. It's not brought in any Gemara. To say that that's what the Gemara is assuming, wow, I don't know, takes guts. But he brings another possibility, which he says is a svara b'alma, and this makes heck of a lot more sense. What he says is like this, there's a beautiful difference. It's the same difference that we know is across the board in its impact on Kachin Kachin and Kachin Kali, and we've used this svara before. It's actually the Rabbeinu Peretz himself who used this svara before, to explain why there would be a difference between afuke and ayule of me'ila. In other words, it is easier to remove me'ila from kachin kadashim, we said before, possibly, and from kachin kali, and vice versa, depending on what the case was. And Rabbeinu Peretz himself was the one who got into describing that difference, if you recall. Over here, he says the svara is as follows. Kachi Kadashim, the Me'ila, is not dependent on any act that you take with it. The moment you say this is Kadash, it belongs to the Lord, so to speak. It's Kadash Lashem. As opposed to Kachi Kalim, which is not Kadash Lashem. Now, when it comes to Kachi Kadashim, as long as God has something in store for this ash, it's still Kadash Lashem. But when it comes to Kachi Kalim, what made it Kodesh Hashem? When you first said it was Kodesh, you weren't by a lot. The only thing that made it Kodesh is when you did the Matri, you brought the Matri, your Zerik Adam. So at that point, you have Chiyuvim and how to treat it in terms of the Aveda. The moment you have nothing else to do with it, then it's not considered to be part of the Kodesh Hashem. And therefore, since in terms of the Aveda, the last thing you need to do is put it on the Mizbeah. After that, it's truly none of your business. Everything else is logistics, but it's not part of what is necessary for the Kachim Hashem. Therefore, when it comes to Kachim Kalim, Titus Rabbeinu Peretz, we only know that the Me'ila is Chal as long as I have work to do. Vashenke by Kachim Kadashim, Me'ila is Chal because of what it is. So until it's over, it's not over. So we're waiting for the fat lady to sing, basically, when it comes to Kachin Kadashim. When it comes to Kachin Kalim, we just want to know whether there's anything else you have to do. Okay. So based on that, the Gemara is asking Pshita. Why is it Pshita? Because my kamafsit. What in the world did you do that affected Hegdash in any way? Now this question is again based on an awful lot of assumptions. And that assumption is, and we saw this before we began talking about something that you can be pogame. If you can be pogame, then you're only chayev if you were pogame. It doesn't help to say that you were neder. Now this isn't really completely true, because let's say someone would take a clay sharis made out of gold and serve some of Richie's Scragamore, let's say, in a gold cup. Now that's the way that Richie likes to serve. Gold. Right.
Cold rolled gold.
There you go. So, we got him. He's talking. He's up. But that's because he thinks it's in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah. That's the only reason. So there you'd be nin. And anyway, if you use a gold cup, you're not pogging it. So the derech of Hishtamshut is not something that is pogum, usually. There you don't have to be pogum. There you have to be nin. When you're talking about food stuff, the way in which you're netted from food stuff is pogame. It's a consumer good.
Is it from Me'ila and Fani?
From Me'ila. So we said before, that's something that you can be pogame, you need to be pogame. Therefore, the Gemara is saying, since we're talking about food stuff, so when you were netted from the Emur, okay, did you hurt anybody? Does the Bigdash have anything else to be done with this? What else do you need to do with it? You've already brought it up on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach ate it. There's nothing else that Hegdash is interested in at this point. Therefore, it's Pshita. Maika Mafsid. What exactly were you Mafsid Hegdash by doing this?
Kachin Kali.
Kachin Kali, exactly. What were you Mafsid? So, Ma'at the Tebe says, well, I'll tell you. First of all, if you talk about Bisar Kachin Kachin, that was the first case. I would say, you're right. Hegdash has nothing to do with it, but doesn't it have to be burned? So I could look at that burning as being a mitzvah tzrifah that is a positive chiyuv. It's a type of aveda. Now, there's an extremely unfortunate word that the Gemara puts in over here that has led to much controversy, and that is very destructive word to throw around loosely, and that is lakohani. Itlei mitzvah sreifa lakohanim. And because of that word, the Sefer HaChinuch actually brings halacha that you need kohanim to burn the boser of Kodesh HaKadosh, and it became tamei, which was the case over here. Problem is, if you did, why in the fact in the world wouldn't you be Mayalan? Because then it would be the equivalent of the Beit HaDeshen issue that we spoke of before. You need Big Tekuna, you tell me you need Big Tekuna to it? No. If you need Kohanim, you need Big Tekuna, because a Kohen without Big Tekuna is a Tzar. So for the Rambam Paskins, of course you don't need Kohanim, in which case either he didn't have the gears of Kohanim, or he just viewed it as being a Lav Davka. Which, when that's the whole point of the sugya, is very painful. Say Lav Davka. Okay. But I might have thought that since it's an Ika Mitzvah Srefa, so maybe that still is a Hefset to Hekdesh, because it's a positive use. And Emurim Kachim Kalim, look, let's say that the fires are low on the Mizbeach. Okay, what do? Usually, you would be mahapich betzimura. Take one of the forks that are there, that are used for flipping the meat, and you would flip it. You would flip it so it would burn faster. Now, there's not a chiv to do that, even though it says you can mitzvah lafuch betzimura. You could just leave it there and let it burn slowly. But since there is an idea of people going around and flipping the meat to make it burn faster, so I might have thought that that was part of what it is that, from Hekdesh's point of view, there is yet to be gained from this meat. And therefore, in that sense, you're being poked in Hekdesh, because Hekdesh still has interest in it. Kamash mondalo, since it's not really necessary, and since Sreifa is not a chiyuv over here that has to do with Hekdesh, it's a logistical chiyuv, because it doesn't require kahuna. You know, I mean, that's one other way of reading it, although it's a little difficult to believe. But one other way of reading it is, I might have thought, mild attainment, that there is a mitzvah sreifa. Kamash mondalo, there isn't a mitzvah sreifa. Now, obviously, that's not the way the chinuch is reading it, but maybe that's the way the Rambam is reading it. Anyway, so that would be the chiddush, not in terms of me'ilah per se, but in terms of the din of pegima. Oh, my Rava, getting back to the other thing that we were speaking about before, here you see where the Gemara is bouncing back and forth between the two sugyas. So getting back to the other question that we had about the chatat, that you had been moyal in the ma'ot of a chatat, and it says over there that if you have the money before you bring your korban chatat, add it to the value of the chatat and bring a better chatat. So, but if you bring it afterwards, then already it would be the equivalent of a chatat shemeta ba'alav, and it would be like a chatat hameta, and it would go to the Yam HaMelech. Now, says Rava, now that's not so clear, because it depends on the situation. When you say kvar karva a chatat yachul Yam HaMelech, what do we mean when we say kvar karva chatat? I'm telling you that what we mean is, it has to be talked about, you knew about it before the kapara. And as we explained earlier, does that mean you knew about it and had already set aside the money? So if you'd already set aside the money before the kapara, then this becomes ma'ot that nitchapru abal imbacher. But if you find out, meaning you set aside the money after the carbon was already brought, then of course the money is not neifel Yam HaMelech. If it's liachar kapara, then the money should go to a nedava nidvat sibur for kaita mizbeach. Why? My tama, because ein mafreshin mitchila leibud. Because you don't set aside money for the purposes of throwing it into the Yam HaMelech. So what would be the point of that? And since you're not mafresh betchila leibud, therefore the money should go to nedava. That is how Rashi, or whoever wrote this on the side there, those all the time Rashi, explains it. It's a difficult explanation to accept. And it's just very much goes in, I can't explain it, but if you know Rashi well, everything that this Befarish writes is written in the way that Rashi would never have said it. It's a very strange thing. It's not right. It's never exactly on target the way Rashi would have put it. So that The proper explanation is that imat frishim b'chil yibud means that if the money is mufresh afterwards, then clearly it isn't meant to be something that is taking the place of a kata shemetu b'alav. In other words, in the same way that we have motar katat, where both of them are able to be brought. That's the pshat. I'm not mafresh to destroy the other money. Not that. Because if it means what Rashi is saying, then fine, to say imat b'chil yibud, so don't pay. What would be the point of paying? If you're going to pay, it'll go to Yibud. What's the point of that? Just don't pay. There's nothing you can do with it. It doesn't make sense to say, therefore, give it for something else. I mean, if you know, so then don't give it. It doesn't suddenly become right for something else. So it makes much more sense to say that this defines the nature of the hafrash. Since you're not being mafresh to take the place of a chatas, where it was this chapra ba'alav. So mamela, why would it be other way on mamela? Okay. All right, we are now ready because our president has come in at exactly the correct moment.
Dr. Helik and Mishnah.
We fooled you. We're nowhere near a Mishnah. Moving on now to other examples of Kodesh Kodashim, but these are examples that are very different in one particular way from all of the cases that we discussed until now. And that is that they are all discussions of either something that doesn't have a matir or something that is a matir and therefore doesn't have a different matir. Why is that important? The simple reason that in tracing the stages, and then remember, this whole parak has been about tracing the stages. At what point is it chayav me'ila? At what point is it chayav neiser, pigel, tome? At what point does it lose me'ila? So it's basically a chart that describes the various chiyuvim and their times. Something that is itself a matir, that has no matir at all, is never going to be chayav on pigel. Because by definition, pigel is only something that has matir, as we're going to see. Now the question is, at what point does it become chayav and notar v'tumah? Since until now, the notar and the tumah was defined by hakravat hamatir, just like pigel was. But there is no matir over here. So this Mishnah has that one particular thing that is different than everything we discussed until now. So let's take a look at it. The komet, which is itself the matir. The levona, which is itself the matir. The ktoret, which is brought completely. Minchat kohanim is brought completely. No kmitza is done to a minchat kohen, nor is any kmitza done to a minchat kohen mashiach, which refers to the minchat chavitin that the kohen gadol brings every day. Half in the morning, half in the evening, which is the equivalent of the Minchat Chinuch, but that's only brought one time in the lifetime of a Kohen, the first time that he's Nichnas L'Avodah, and it's not brought half and half, but it's all Minchat Kohanim that has no Kemitza. Ma'alim Bam, so here let's trace that. Ma'alim Mishu Ubdushu, like other Kachim, Kichan Bikli, and it still requires Kiddush B'Kli to get that Kiddushat HaGuf in order to be possible B'Tful Yom or B'Chos HaKippurim and the clock to start ticking for Lina. And in this case, you immediately become Chayav Mishum Notar U'Mishum Tameh because there is no Matir. But Pigel Einba. There's no Pigel at all. As a matter of fact, Zakla. Kosh Yeshu Matirin. If there is a matir, such as the komets for the shiari mincha, the hazoya or the zrika for the respective korbanas to be matir, the emurim, or the basar b'achila, then ein chayavin alav mishum pigul notar v'tamei ad shiakrivu matirin, and that matirav. Until such time as you bring the matir, it's insufficient to be just satisfied with kiddush kli, to be b'chuyev mishum tumah. Remember, tumah is referring here to tumat aguf of the person. The chiyev of karet for eating this basar b'tumat aguf. Not referring to the tumah of the actual kodesh, because that's not a chiyev karet anyway, so we wouldn't be talking about chayevin alav. But kosh ein lo matirin, remarkably, the fact that it has no matir actually creates a chiyev for notar and tumah that is earlier. So if ein lo matirin, the moment that it was kodesh b'kli, you're chayav en alav mishum notar v'tamei. But there will never be any pigel on such a thing. So pigel ein ba at all. Minani Mili. How do we know that? I mean, that's a very strange halacha. That notar v'tameh yurchayev, whether it has matirin or doesn't have matirin. But where there is a matir, so that's the same thing as if you have a pigo. The jolei chayev, when you brought the matir. But when there's no matir, the chayev comes immediately upon kiddush kli. How do we derive that? Minani Mili. The Tanna Rabbanan. Yochel in chayavin mishum tuma. Let's start from the other side. This concept of requiring matirin, it's all very nice in a simple way of looking at it. Simple way of looking at it is, well, you make pigo with a matir. Yeah, but that's not really true. Because you make pigo, let's say, with the act of shechita, right? You can be shechit, amanat le'achol. It's true that until you did the zrika, you weren't koveya the pigo, but consider, is it the fact of the Zerika, or is that you haven't completed your Avodah until you did the Zerika? Okay, so were it possible to complete the Avodah without a Zerika, so that there wouldn't need to be a Matir, a further Matir, I would have already been Mefago with Shechita. So one way of looking at Pigel is that the Torah, as the Gzerata Katuv said, if something doesn't have a specific Matir, there's no Isser of Pigel on it, no Chiyav of Karet of Pigel. Now that's a tremendous kula, right? I mean, you did everything that you normally would have done to be befaga. You went ahead, you were mekabel the dam almanat to be zorek chutz lemekomo. Or in our theoretical case, where there is no zrika, you did the shechit almanat lecho chutz lemekomo, right? And nonetheless, Torah says chutz zmano. Nonetheless, Torah says you're potter on pigo. So then, isn't it a kal v'chomer? Pigo is, on the one hand, a very chomer thing. Why do I say that? Because look, to be chayav a carbon for pigo, what carbon do you chayav if you eat pigo? Regular carbon for eating chaylev, right? It's full chiyuv karet. Do I have any special quality of requiring a yediyah mitchila like I do by tuma? Absolutely not. It's like any other shogeg. You had a piece of meat, that's chaylev. You have a piece of meat, that's pigo. It's exactly the same. You didn't know anything about it. You couldn't have known anything about it. It makes no difference. Chila b'shargeg, bring a chatat kavua. Is there ever any time in history that you're allowed to bring pigo to chatchila to the mizbeah? Never. So in that sense, pigo is very chamur. So ma pigul shehu b'yediyah achat. You don't need to have an advanced yediyah. What you do need to do for tuma of kodesh, in order to be chayav karet, you need a diya b'tchila and a diya b'sof. Furthermore, if you were over, what carbon do you bring? A chatas kavua. What would be the din if you were over on tuma? You would bring a carbon all of a yorek, which is a big kula. Because if you can't afford the chatas kavua, you can get away with bringing a little bit of flour to the mizbeach. And furthermore, it is something that was lo hutar mikhlalo. There is never a time, Rich, that you're able to bring pigo as opposed to tuma, which you would actually bring even lechatchila in a case where the tzibur is tameh, you bring tameh lechatchila. And nonetheless, on such a chomer thing as pigol, so if it's a case where there is no matir, there is no pigol, despite the fact that you had the machsheves chutz lezmanot on something that wasn't a matir, tuma, which is really kal. You're only chayav, first of all, if you had yediyah b'tchila. So it's b'shtei yediyot. Yediyah b'tchila, and then yediyah b'sof. And where you're chayav, the carbon that you're chayav is a cheapo carbon. Carbon all of a yorid. And it's a type of iser that is utru b'chlala, because if the tzibur is tame, you can bring it l'chatchila b'tumah. So it's utru b'chlala. So for sure, the Torah should be mekel, and eino din shelo yehei chayav el adavar sheyesh lo matirin. So where in the world would I get the idea that I would be chayav on tuma, even on something that doesn't have matirin? Talmud lomar, because of that, the Torah goes out of its way to say the following pasuk: Emor aleihem ledorotechem. Kol ish asher yikrav. Now notice that word. Kol ish asher yikrav mikol zarachem al hakadashim asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael Hashem v'tumato alav v'nichrata hanefesh ha'yi. Now, that word, asher yikrav, what does that mean? You might mean, does it mean within four amas? You get close, your tummy, you get close to the Kodesh. Does it mean you touch the Kodesh? doesn't mean any of the above, because we know that there's no chiyuv unless you actually eat. Asks the Gemara, so what is that supposed to mean, asher yikrav? And here it's talking about the kol hakodashim. Note that it says to the kodashim asher yakdishu bnei Yisrael, whether it has matirin, whether it doesn't have matirin, it says asher yikrav. So therefore, you would think yochel yechayav yirolav miyat. So you might think that that means that you'd be chayav the moment that it has kedushat kli. No, Talmud Lomar asher yikrav. What does asher yikrav mean? Amar Rabbi Elazar, come on. You think asher yikrav means what it seems to mean, that the kohen will get close, meaning like he'll touch it? I mean, is there such a thing, v'chiyesh nogeya shu chayav? Is there such a thing as a nogeya that is chayav when it says beferish asher yochal in other places? And we know that the chiyav is only achila. Therefore, why does it say asher yikrav? What it's telling me is whatever it takes to bring this thing, a sheikh rav is not about the kohen, it's about the object. So whatever it would take to get this thing up to the mizbeach, which means if it has matirin, then you would need to be carved matirah. But if it doesn't have matirin, so then the kiddush bekli, or the, whatever that case is, whether it's the tanur, whether it's the sakin, or whether it's the kiddush of the kli of the minch, whatever the case is. But if it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, so then you can't say that it was asher yikrav ad sheyikrovu b'matirav. But kol davar she'ein lo matirin, eino chayav ad sheyikadesh b'kli. And as far as, that's all talking about tumah. How do we know notar? Because we have so many different cases, and the Gemara in Tzvachim applies it to this case particularly, where we learn out chilol in our famous Kiyachalalu Gizera Shava from Notar to Tuma. So Bemela, we know that that's the din when it comes to Tuma. Hadran Allah Chatat Ha'of. Now, when it comes to the five Chataot Hametot, which are the Vlad Chatat, the Tumurat Chatat, the Chatat Shemetu Ba'aleha, those are Yamutu and Ibrash Natava Avdavanim Tseit Balatmum. As we'll see tomorrow, those are also Chatot Hameta. We've already talked about why we separate the two Bavot. Why don't we just throw the whole thing together? But we'll see what the graph is for Chiyuvim on these additional cases that are possibly Ikara. Omer of Gevia de Bektila Ravashi, Archi Omer Abaye, indeed, Reisha Rabbi Shimon Vesefer Abba. Omar Ula, Hakom Odim, Shim Nehenemi Psar Kochekotashim Shinitma, or Meimurim Kochim Kal, Meakashe Alan, the Patur. Well, isn't it obvious? I mean, Michael Mafsit. Well, Mao de Teva Bosa Kochekotashim Shinitma, you still have a mitzvah Sreifa. Some don't view the word Kohanim as being Dafka, including the Rambam. And in Murim Kachib Kalim, you have a mitzvah la fuchi betzinora, kamash balandalo. Omar Rabbah. Hadi Hamrat, in the Machlokas of Rav and Levi, and in a case where Kvar Korva Chatat, Yachum Yama Melach, that's Hani Mile di Itiadale Kame Kaparav, Leach Kaparav, Yipluna de Dava, my timer, Ein Mafrishim Mikhila li Ibud. Hakol mitzvah levodav haktor to minchat kohanim, minchat kohen mashiach, minchat nesachim. All of the above, ma'ali mehem mishu ugdashu, kitchen bekli, huch shali paser betvod yomu v'chusru kippurim ubelina. And here, as opposed to all the other cases, we also add the chayavin ala mishum notar u'mishum tamei. However, again, as opposed to all the other cases, pigol ein mehem. Zekla, kol she yesh lo matirin, אין חייבים לו משום פיגול אותה ותמי, עד שיקריבו מתיריו. וכל שאין לו מתירים, כיוון שקידש בכלי, חייבים עליו משום נותר תמי, בת פיגול אין בה. You know what I mean? That you're going to be חייב, even if there are no מתירים on נותר and תמי, תתן רבן, יוכל אין חייבים משום תומה, אלא בדבר שיש לו מתירים. As a matter of fact, it ought to be a קל וחומר. Uma pigul shuhu bidiachat. You don't need yidiyah mitchila. And if you're over, korbanoze korban chatat kavua. And there's never a case where it's hutar mechlalo betzibur, let's say, ein chayavin, unless it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, Tum'ah, which is Shtei Yediyot, and the Garban is an Eil V'Yayred, and it's Utra Miklala in the case of Etzibur, so it's a lot of kulas. So for sure, Einodin Shaloye Chayam, El Adavaj Yeshlamatirin, Talmud Lomar, Emor Aleyem Ladore Techem, Kol Ish Asher Yikrav, Mikol Zarachem. Now, first of all, it's talking about over there, Ela Kodashim Asher Yagdishu Bnei Yisrael Hashem. That's Ela Kodashim is Bukhala Kodashim. Whether it has material, doesn't have material, midaber. Now, you might think that it means that you're chayav right away. So, you chayav elei miyad, Talmud Lomar, no. It needs to be already ro'i la'akrava. By the way, says Rabbi Elazar, I mean that word Asher Yikrav, which seems to be referring to just getting close to or touching. You really think that's what it means? It's referring to the carbon. Because that's what Asher Yikrav means. Roi for akrava. Because that's what makes it royal akrava. And then it says, in a case with tumatol of bekudushat aguf. When it comes to notar, we learn out chilo from tamei. Hadronah chatata of.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
Today we are holding on Daf Yud, and we're getting back now to the beginning of our sugya after having discussed yesterday the question of what exactly we do with the payments of Me'ilah. We're getting back to the question of our Mishnah. Immediately after the Mishnah, we had a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan as to what the moment is that Me'ilah is pokea from the emunim that are on the Mizbeach. And the machlokas over there was whether the Mishnah means literally Achi Yetzei LeBeit HaSrifa, as Rabbi Yochanan claims, and or what it means is that it's Roi LeBeit HaSrifa. In other words, once it's as Rav claims, once we took off the Trumas HaDeshen, at that point it becomes Roi LeBeit HaSrifa.
The machlokas clothing, whether something prepared to be done is as if it's done, or?
No. Yes, because there are differences sometimes. Although it's true that there's quite a few things which are kol ha'ayvei, or whether something is lach b'mechus or ma'isa, but it's not kulo b'chad ha'masifta. Today we have a surprising twist on that. And the surprising twist is this, that Omar Ula should say, that our kol modim, whether we're talking about Rav Shita or the Yochanan Shita, you mean you want to leave the Daf Yomi to go get tea, or you're offering me your own tea? It warms me so much just to look at you that I don't even need to. Literally. So Ula says in a very surprising twist that both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan would be Maiden. Two chidushim over here. First of all, if your nene from the Basar of Kodesh Kedoshim that became Tomei, according to Rashi, even if he became Tomei before Zrikas, there was never really anything that was achieved with it. Or for that matter, from Emurim Kodeshim Kalim, after you put it up on the Mizbeach, then you would be potter. Now this comes to something of a shock. I mean, what's even more shocking is you're asking, this is Pshita. I mean, why in the world is Pshita? It seems to be a contradiction to everything that we've assumed until now, right? Up until now, our assumption was that when Rav and Rabbi Yochanan were talking about Emurim on the Mizbeach, it doesn't really matter whether it was Emurim Kodeshim Kodeshim or Kodeshim Kalanim. And the point is, Emurim need to be burned. And until you take off the Trumas HaDeshen, or until you actually go out to the Beit HaDeshen, the Me'ilah remains. Here it's saying, no, it comes to Kodeshim Kalim, The Emurim of Kachin Karen, as soon as you bring them up to the Mizbeach, they're not even, forget about being Afer, they're not even a Gachelas yet. You put them on the Mizbeach. No more Me'ilah. I mean, that seems outrageous. Furthermore, we also believe that until such time as I actually completed doing everything that was necessary to do, so when it came to the Emurim, what was necessary to do was Sreifa till the end. Maybe that end means until it's Sreifa Truma Sedeshen, but whatever that end is, I certainly would have thought that Basar Kedesh that became Tamei, the din is that it's Chayev and Sreifa, albeit not on the Mizbeach. But I mean, why would we say that the Poka Mi'ilosa, he says, there's no longer a din in the Ilah. Why would this be? So the Gemara says, not only why would this be, the Gemara says, what, isn't this obvious? Pshita. Micah maps it. I understand. What would the Me'ilah be in? What exactly was he mafsid over here from Kodesh that could possibly be usable? Bosa Kachi Kachi Natsutomei is useless. You can't put it on the Mizbeach, can't be eaten by Peyanim. Emurim Kachim Kalim, what else are you supposed to do with it? You put it on the Mizbeach, it's all over. So you're not being mafsid Hegdash anything. Even though Lamaise, as Rashi points out, before we said when it was Pigol, that you would yes be Chayim, but that, Rashi says, that's because we said, oh, it lumaratz in the Pigula. Remember that the issue of Pigol is that it's an anti-carbon. And therefore you need to do all the avodas of Pigol, because there's such a thing as a carbon of Pigol. But over here, what's the Chiddush? Now, as I mentioned to you, it's not only the question, what's the Chiddush? It's why is it even true? And the Rishonim argue, or discuss at great length what the issue is. Why indeed do we say, let's take the first statement. Why do we say that Basar Kedesh that was Tamei should not be Chayav in Me'il even though I have a Chiyav of Sreifa? So let's take a look at how the Gemara explains why it's not Pshita, and then we'll go all the way with these for us. Ma'al detema Basar Kedesh Kachav Shinitba. Islay Mitzvah Sreifa L'Kohanim. I might have thought that Basar Kachi Kachim that became Tomei, there's still the mitzvah to burn it, even though it's not burning on the Mizbeach, but there's a Chiyav, the Kayanim now have to go and burn it. Emurim Kachim Kali, there's still a mitzvah to take the Tzinura, which is a fork-like device, and poke at it to make sure that it burns properly on the Mizbeach. Kamash Mandalo, the Chiddush is that is not considered to be sufficient to be B'chai Me'il, and the question is why not? So Tosis, Lagabi, the first question, says that if you recall when we were discussing the Chiyav of Me'ilah before Trumas Hadeshen, we said, or even before Shefach Hadeshen, we said that over there it's because you need Big Dekuna. Remember? So even if it was only two Big Dekuna, but why would the Torah be marked on Big Dekuna? Must be that there's a getter of Aveda in it, and therefore it still retains elements of Kiddushin. There's no din of Big Dekuna by Sreifa of Basar Tamei. Therefore, it says Tosfos, this is completely in line with what the Gemara said previously.
Where are we burning this Basar Tamei?
Outside. So therefore, since, even though it's a mitzvah to do it, it has nothing to do with the mitzvah of dinim of Kiddusha. It's how one deals with Kiddusha that is no longer usable. And therefore, it's consistent with what the Gemara says before. Unless the Torah is megale, that there's an Indian of Aveda in it, we would certainly not say there's a Chiyav of Me'ilah. How about the second piece? Second piece is more problematic. I mean, the Afuche B'Tzinura, forget about the question of Afuche B'Tzinura, which certainly does require Big Dekuna, and is B'Chayav Azar Misa, and so on and so forth. So, but I mean, the Gemara said before that Rav and Rav Yochanan are both Moda, that before Trumat HaDeshen, for sure it's considered to be part of the Aveda. Here we're talking about, you just put it up to the Mizbeach, it's obviously before Trumat HaDeshen. Why all of a sudden is it okay? So Tosis brings from the Rabbeinu Peretz, he says there's two reasons to be mechalik between Basar Kachi Kachi, between Emuri Kachi Kachi and Emuri Kachi Kami. Firstly, he says, the difference is a pasuk. In other words, if we take as our assumption that without information from the Torah otherwise, that it would have been obvious that whether it's Kachim Kadoshim or whether it's Kachim Kali, Sha'at Ha'alal HaMizbeach completes what I have to do with it. I, what about hafuche betzinura? But I don't have to be mahabit betzinura. That's the point. If I want to, I can just leave it there and let it burn. So the mahabit betzinura is more efficient, it's more effective, it helps along, but it's certainly not a chiyuv that I have. Not to be comparable to the other dinim of aveda. So therefore, if I assume that without a pasuk otherwise, I would have said that halalim is be'ah, is the conclusion of what needs to be done. And for all intents and purposes, that would be nasi mitzvase. Then I can say that if it wouldn't be that the Torah put into the parsha of Eilah, the din of Trumas Hadeshen is part of the Eilah, Yola, Mugda, Kala, Laila, and so on, and then they Rimas Hadeshen, that's all dinim in Eilah. And from Eilah we learn Kachi Kadashi. But the halach of Trumas Hadeshen was never said Legabe Emurim Kachi Kalim, says Rabbeinu Peretz. And therefore, it remains the way it would have been without the pasuk. Halal is the conclusion. Furthermore, says Rabbeinu Peretz, forget about the pasuk. Even mitzad hasvara, there's no comparison between the two. Because remember that the state of me'ilah on Kachi Kadashim is an extension of what it is, not what needs to be done with it. For Haraya, the moment that I say it's Kedesh, it becomes Chayav already in Me'ilah. By Kachim Kalim, the din of Me'ilah is an expression of what I need to do with it. Having determined that it's now ready to be put on the Mizbeach, at that moment it becomes Chayav in Me'ilah. Fine. So when I put it on the Mizbeach, at that moment it becomes Unchayav in Me'ilah. But same thing, by Kachim, I need to change its status, not just what I need to do with it. And there the Torah is Megala. What changes the status is either the Trumas Hadeshen, depending on you, like Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, or the actual Otsas Hadeshen. Memela, although this comes as a surprise, it now clarifies us very much what the issue was in the first Mishnah, which we might have, without this Gemara, we might have applied across the board. Comes along now Ula to explain the discussion between Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan was limited to Kachi Kadoshi, and then the Kachim Kalim, there would be no problem with put on the Mizbeach. Furthermore, the dinim of Sreifa, things that need to be done, should not be confused with dinim of Aveda. If you have things that are Tomei, you're not going to come Chayav Me'ilah on it. Oh my brother, Hodi Amrit, Kfar Korvar Satat, Yochuli Yamamelach. This Gemara is a little bit choppy because, you know, we were in the middle of discussing the Machlokas of Rav and Levi, then we went back to discussing the Machlokas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan in Ula's statement, and now in Rav's statement we're going back to Rav and Levi again. Well, we said over there we were talking about what do you do with this money? So we brought then that final brisa, we brought in brisa, leave it to Rav, so it said over there that in a case where the chakas was already brought, remember what are you supposed to do with money? That you misuse was to add to your chatas. And if your chatas was already brought, you can't add to your chatas, throw it into the Yama Melach, if it's like money that was left over from a chatas, it is chapur ba'alea. Says Rava, but that's only if kvar korva chatas ola Yama Melach, hanimilu nizyadele kame kapora. That's only if he knew about the fact that he was chayav to add that money before he brought his korban chatas. So Mamela, for all intents and purposes, that money was as if it was set aside for kapara. And you went ahead and went mischapa without it. And therefore, it goes beyond Mamela like any kapas ames. About la'acha kapara, if you found out about the me'ila only after you already brought the korban chatas, so that's ridiculous. What are you going to do now? Because, oh, let me set aside money and throw it into the Yamamela. What are you, crazy? Why are you setting aside money and throw it into the Yamamela? So over there, for sure, yiplu l'nedava, my taima, ein ma'prishim mitchila l'ibud. You don't set aside money to throw it out? So if I needed to bring this money already and then I didn't, so then it was me who put it into the of needing to throw it out. If I know now that I'm a chiyuv to set aside money and there's nothing to be do with it, then obviously it should go l'nedava. Yes, indeed. Hakodes v'halevona v'haktoret u'minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen Mashiach u'minchat nesachim. Until now, we have been discussing various things that have one thing in common and one thing not in common. The one thing they all have in common is that they are all things that have matirin. And therefore, for each one of them, we discussed what is the din at the time that you make it kodesh, and what changes after you bring the matir, whether that matir is the zrikas adam, or the matir is the haktorah of the komets, and so on. So we had, the Mishnah was able to distinguish between the time of the onset of the suitability to be makabel tuma from a tful yom and a b'chus ha-kippurim, and on the other hand, the possibility of the chiev of pigul noyser v'tomei. The thing that they didn't have in common was that some of them had heter l'kayanim, and some of them didn't have heter l'kayanim in the bosom. Even the oyla had heter l'kayanim in the or. Now, there are some things that do not have a heter l'kayanim, but they don't have a matir either. And if they don't have a matir, number one, what's unusual about them, this is no chiyuv of pigul at all. Because only that which has a matir can have a pigul. Because at the time that you bring the matir, you create the status of pigul. If there is no matir, the thing itself is a matir, it can't be chayav of pigul. That's the first difference. The other difference is that there's nothing to distinguish the onset of the vulnerability to Tful Yom and Mechus HaKippurim from the onset of the vulnerability to Nisa and to Tami. Because there's nothing that changes after that moment that they become Kodesh, Kodesh Sagur. There's nothing that will change anymore. There's no matter to change anything. Therefore, the onset of the suitability for Kabbalah's Tuma is exactly the same as the onset for the Chiyuv of Nisa. And what are those things? Well, the Komet is itself a matir. So it does not have any matir. Furthermore, it's also not eaten by the Kohanim. The Lavona is exactly the same. It's brought together with the Komet. The Ketoret is brought entirely on the Mizbeach. There's no matir. Minchas Kohanim are like any other mincha except for one thing. There's nothing that separates a matir from a Shirayim. The Minchas Kohanim goes entirely on the Mizbeach. That's the equivalent of a Korban Ayla. Minchas Kohen Mashiach, of course, the same thing. That's the Chavitah in the Kohen Gadol. The Minchat Nesachim, the Yayin, are things that are put on the Mizbeach, or put entirely on the Mizbeach. There's no Komets at all. In all of these things, Mo'alim Ben Mishu'uk Deshu, the moment they got Kedushas HaGuf, how did they get Kedushas HaGuf? After a Matir, Kitchen B'Kli, you put them into the container now, that is the Kli Sharet, at that moment they are now vulnerable to Tuma through contact with the Tvuyom of the Kippurim and Lina, and at the same moment you're Chayav Alayim Mishum Nozer Umishum Tomei, but Pigol in Behem. They don't have any Pigol because Zehaklal. Koshi Yeshlo Matirin, whatever has a Matir, whether that's the Zrikas Adam or whether it's the Hakrovas Hakomet, or whether it's the Zrika for the Lechem. All of those cases, Ein Chayavim Aleihem Mishum Pigul Noser Tomei, Ad Sheyakrivu Matirav. Until such time as you bring the Matir, there is no Chiyav for Pigul Noser Tomei. But Kosha Ein Lo Matirin, if there is no Matir, then the moment you have Kedushas Kli, you're now Chayav Aleihem Mishum Noser Tomei, and there is no Pigul at all, because, as we'll see, we learn from the Pasuk, only those things which have a matir chayim and pigul. Minon emili, how do we know that noser and tomei you're chayiv even without a matir? The Tana Rabbana, yochol ein chayiv mishum tumah l'bedavar sheyesh lo matirin. You might think that we should derive from the din of pigul that there's no chayiv on tuma unless there is a matir v'dinu. And actually, it certainly makes sense to believe such a thing, because look, if pigul, which is very common, number one, pigul is bidiyachat. In order to become chayav a korban on pigul, you don't first need to know and then to forget the whole business of yediyah betchilah v'sof, the chav by tuma. It's a regular case. You did it without any knowledge. When you find out about it, you bring a korban. What kind of korban do you bring? A korban kavua, regular korban chatas. There's no hanachot given to an oni to be able to bring a korban all over yare. It's a standard korban. V'lo hutar miflalo. Furthermore, there is never a time in which pigul can be brought l'chatchila to the mizbeach, as opposed to tuma, where if you have a tzibur that's tame, you bring tame to the mizbeach. Nonetheless, in pigul itself, ein chayavin ela al davar sheyesh lo matirin. You're not going to become chayav on pigul unless there is a matir. So is it not a kavachomer that tuma, where you're only chayav a korban if you had a yediyah b'tchila, and then a yediyah b'sof, so it's b'shtei yediyot. The korban ole v'yoreid, and furthermore, we give a special dispensation, is the word, yes, thank you, to an oni to be able to bring an oil of a yoreid. And if it's b'tzibur, it's hutra b'chlola, you're allowed to go bring it on the mizbeah. Isn't it clear that the Torah will not be machai of you unless it has a matir? Talmud Lomar, and that is why the Torah makes it clear by saying, Emor aleihem ledorotechem, kol ish asher yikrav michol zarachem. Now, what is this referring to? First of all, it's talking about El Kodshei B'nei Yisrael. In other words, B'kol HaKadoshim HaKosim B'tari. The Torah is referring, even though it appears to Gabi Shlom, it's referring to any Kodesh. You might think that you could be chayev on them, whether or not there's a matir. Talmud Lomar, therefore it says over here, Asher Yikrav. Now what does Asher Yikrav mean? The parshas is that it means touching. You come close. Don't you dare come close to Kodshei Hashem. And if you touch them, you're going to be chayav. But it can't mean that. Because Omar Rabbi Elazar, v'chiyesh nogea shu chayav, we've seen in countless other locations in the Torah that there is no chiyuv karev unless tumato alav. His own guf is coming. Is that? No, b'achila. And he goes and he eats it. So it certainly can't mean Asher Yikrav that is going to now come near it, even if it means the Negia. There's no Negia that's Chayav, because otherwise why does the Torah always talk about Asher Yochal? Therefore, when it says Asher Yikrav, it must mean that is Ra'ui Li'Karev, meaning to bring to the Mizbeach. And yet, on the other hand, it said Asher Yakdishu. Kol ish asher yikrav mikol zarachem al kodeshim asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael l'Hashem. Asher yakdishu is mashma from the moment of Hagdashah. And here it says, from the moment at which it's roi for the Mizbeah. Asher yikrav. How do you explain that contradiction? Okay, so how do you explain that? There must be to tell me, kol davar sheyesh lo matir hinei lo chayav ad sheyikrav lo matir, v'kol davar sheein lo matir hinei lo chayav ad sheyikadesh b'kli. What it means is that there's no chiyuv of tuma unless it's roi for hakrava. So if it requires matir, it requires matir. If it requires kedisa b'kli, it requires kedisa b'kli. But it certainly is not going to be limited to cases of only where there's a matir. Hadron lo chatata oath. Now this next parak is coming to discuss, until now we've had very well delineated frakim. The first parak dealt with psulim in Kodesh, at what point you would nonetheless have mi'ilah. Second parak dealt with the seder, at which point various chiyuvim kick in and kick out. Where's Mi'ilah kick in? Where's Mi'ilah removed? Where's Doser kick in? Tuma? And so on and so forth. The next part discusses various elements that are Yotzim min HaKlal. They are not standard carbon. Something has happened to them, or they're pieces, or whatever. And we want to know which of them you're Chayav on Mi'ilah on. So our first case are the cases of Chatzot HaMetot, which have played a very significant role throughout this Masechta, we keep coming back to them. And the Chomesh Chatzos HaMesos are listed here in the Mishnah. The first are without any conditions. Vlad Chatat, Tumurat Chatat, Chatat Shemetu Ba'alea, those three don't require any further definition. Yamutu, they need to be left to die. But, a Chatat She'ibrash Nata, a chatas that outgrew it. Remember, you can only bring a chatas. The kifsa has to be within its first year. The seira has to be within its first year. So if it's ibrashnata, the year has already passed. Yeah, it didn't get a chance to bring it to the Mizbeach on time, and it grew up, as is wont to happen as time passes. Indeed. And now it was Avda. Now, there's a little bit of a problem in how to read this Mishnah.
One moment.
Let me first give you a little bit of a background. You remember that there is a machlokas about what the halacha is where you found a chatas that was lost before you were nischaper with the other one. According to the Chachamim, that has a din of a meiser chatas. We talked about this yesterday. Not the din of a chatas and meisas. However, there are cases where everybody is modern, that it is a chatas and meisas. And where would that be? Where you have tarte l'reusa. You have two problems. So in this Mishnah, the way Rashi understands the Mishnah, is the Mishnah is built using the middle clause to be added to clause A and to introduce clause B. In other words, you have two problems over here. A chatas that is too old, and a chatas that is now a balas moment is unusable. A chatas that was too old, that was lost. So notice the way to read it is, chatas she'ibrach nata v'sha'avda. Or, she'avda v'nimtzeit ba'alat mum. So in other words, here you have tarte l'reyes, which according to Rabbana, becomes now a chatot ha'meta. It was both lost and it was a ba'alat mum. So now, even when it was found, it was no longer in a position to be able to be used as the chatas. Or it was Avrashnata, and it was Nifka because of the fact that it had been lost. So then, Im Mishikibru HaBa'alim, now remember that there were two Girsa'ot, because it was Machlokas, whether it needed to be that it was found Mishikibru, or Im Kibru. If the Ba'alim then proceed to be Mitkaper, and that of course is dependent, then there's Machlokas. If we read it Im Mishikibru HaBa'alim, so Tamut, then it goes according to everybody, and we don't necessarily have to make these tartel reyes at the eno osat mura, but because of the fact that it has all of these have to be tamuz, they can't make a tura because they no longer have a kedusha that can be tofes something else because the bialim are no longer muchuyavim. They already were nischaper barcheras. The lo nehanin, you're not allowed to be nene, because they are sof called sof kodesh. So okay, it's true there's no me'ila, because they're completely useless, as we said. And even the Rabbanan, there's no me'ila. The Rabbanan made actually it's a machlokas. According to Rashi, the Rabbanan made a takana here of me'ila as well. And you have to pay for what they would have been worth if they were usable. They know satmura. The lo nehanim, the lo mo'alim, the imach shalokitru abalim. However, if the balim have not as yet been mischaper with another one, and now we found them, and now they want to use the money of the balas mum, let's say, to go ahead and to be mischaper, or of the one that is older to be mischaper, then they'd have to wait until it gets a mum, if obviously not referring to the case of the bal mum, which is already a bal mum. Thank you, sir. The yikru, and now you can use the money, and at this point, since the money is set aside for the value that is set aside for a kapora, so you can still make a tamura. And since it's usable, you're still mailing but. Now, why is it that the first three cases we just said straight out? We didn't talk about nischapro bakar, we just said, period. And how come the latter two cases we have to go through all this fetching? Depends if it was Balmum and whether it was found or when it was found, had the violin. So why are we maflig in the latter two cases? And in the first three cases we're not maflig. No, that's obvious. Resha psikalai. The resha can be said because there's no conditions. What are you going to say? None of these cases are real chataot. The blood of a chatas is not omit for kapora. The tumur of a chatas is not omit for kapora. And you're certainly not going to discuss whether the bialim is chaper bacharas if he's dead. So those three cases are always a chataot ameta. There's nothing to discuss. It's only the last cases that we have seifa, lo psika, like seifa depends whether it is chaper bacharas, whether it'll make a tumur and so on. But didn't this whole mission appear back in Maseches Tumura? Well, Tani Legabe Tamura, we asked, of course, the same kash in Tamura, doesn't this whole mission appear in Mesachas Megillah? And we answer the same answer. So now, Tana Hasa Mishum Tamura, over there, in order to tell me the implications of Chatos HaMeses for Tamura, it says this Mishnah, but Tana Hasa Mishum Megillah, to tell us the same halakas of Chatos HaMeses. Legabe Megillah, it brings exactly the same Mishnah as it did back in Tamura again. See how easy Daf Yomi can be.
Quick, easy, and deep.
Up to now, the